بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So this is lesson number 14 in our series on the explanation of the book Al-Ubudiyya of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah with the commentary of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. In the previous lesson we looked at how some of the Muslim sects, those sects which appeared among the Muslims, they followed the same way, the same path as the polytheists, the mushrikun. And two of those ways was first of all to innovate into the religion, to bring about bid'ah into the religion, whether in terms of practice, whether in terms of acts of worship, or whether in terms of doctrine, in terms of creed. And likewise, to also use as an argument Al-Qadr, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, to use that, to invoke that as an argument to justify one's sins, one's disobedience, or whatever religion one has concocted and, you know, adopted and followed. So these two things we mentioned from the speech of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that he was showing that the polytheists who followed this particular way and who did not go beyond Allah's rububiyyah, so they affirmed Allah's rububiyyah, but they had deviated from his uluhiyyah, and explaining that the whole of the religion of Islam is founded upon singling out Allah Azza wa Jal in worship. So the polytheists who came before and who committed shirk, then they had fallen into two mistakes. And one was to innovate into their religion, as a result of which they altered their religion. And secondly, they also used Al-Qadr as an argument to justify what they did. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah was mentioning and illustrating how the Sufis and likewise the people of Kalam, such as the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiya, then they have resembled those people, those polytheists, in the way that they went astray and how they did the deeds that those polytheists did. So that's what we covered for most of the previous lesson. And today we are going to continue. In fact, we also mentioned how the Sufis, they basically, you know, relied upon their tastes and their desires and, you know, to do things in terms of worship that were not based upon Allah's legislation, right? So they went astray in that way. And as for the people of Kalam, the people of Kalam, such as the Jahmiya Mu'tazila, they went astray because they relied upon their intellects. Right, they gave intellect, they followed their intellect, even when it opposed the revelation. So, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is now going to explain further into, you know, this affair, and explain how and why it came about, and what the basic principle or the basic mistake is. So he says, and this is where we commence today's lesson, he says, وَأَصْلُ ضُلَالِ مَنْ ضَلَّ هو بتقديم قياسه على النص المنزل من عند الله واختياره الهوى على اتباع أمر الله. He said, it is the foundation in all of this. What is the basic principle that we can return to through which we can see how these people went astray? He says the foundation of the misguidance of these people is that they put their own analogies. They put their own analogies, their qiyas, their analogies. They put them ahead of the revelation sent down from Allah. And they preferred their own desires, over following the command of Allah. Right? So this is the basic two mistakes. One is they use qiyas. Qiyas is to start making analogies and start making likenesses and analogies. And secondly is to follow one's desires. Like you follow your tastes and you follow your desires. So he says, Ibn Taymiyyah, فَإِنَّ الذَّوْقَ وَالْوَجْدَ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ هُوَ بِحَسَبِ مَا يُحِبُّهُ الْعَبْدِ. He says, as for each person's, like his own, his tastes and his inclinations and his feelings and things like that, this you find that every servant has these things. Every servant has these things on account of which he loves and is inclined to certain things. He says, فَكُلُّ مُحِبٌ لَهُ ذَوْقٌ وَوَجْدٌ بِحَسَبِ مَحَبَّتِهِ. Every person has something that he is kind of, inclined to, which he likes. So what Shaykh al-Islam means here is that every person, when you look at every person, from his upbringing, from the place, he was raised in, from the types of foods that he likes, from the types of clothing that he likes, like the general culture that he is brought up in. And so within that culture, he develops certain tastes, certain feelings, certain orientations, right? And so this makes him inclined, it makes him love certain things from his experience. It makes him love, be inclined towards certain things. And everywhere across the world, you have different people and they have these, they have these tastes. They have these inclinations, they have these likes, they have these things which appeal to them, right? So every person has this. Every person possesses these things. And so what happens is that a person uses these things as a basis. They make these types of things as a basis in order to follow their desires as it relates to religion, right? So they put, dhawq and wajd and, these kind of inclinations and likes and things that they love and things that make them happy or give them pleasure or whatever it might be, then this influences the way that they interpret and understand the religion and derive the religion. So, in contrast, what is the way of the believer? What is the way of the believer? What is the believer's like and dislike? And so this is what Shaykh al-Islam mentions next, and this is a very important point to understand. And before we go on to the various texts that Ibn Taymiyyah is going to mention, we'll see what Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan has said about this passage. He says that the reason why these people went astray is that they put forward their reason, their intellect, upon the clear text that has come from Allah Azza wa Jal. And they put forward their own desires, their own feelings. They put all of this ahead of the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we see this both with, the Sufis, the Sufis who basically, they like to listen to music and poetry, and they like to, sometimes some of them sing, and they do these things, and that's because their hearts are inclined towards these things, they like these things. However, they have no basis in the Sharia. They have no basis in the Sharia. So they put their own desires ahead of what is in Allah's religion, in Allah's revelation. And similarly, the people of philosophy and kalam, like the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya, they put forward their rational opinions and what they derive through their intellects. They put it ahead of the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is the way that these people, they go astray. They go astray in this manner. And then Shaykh al-Islam mentions certain texts which describe how a believer, how his inclinations, how his feelings, how the things that he loves, all of that is based upon the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So from the texts he mentions is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things which whomever possesses these things, he will find the sweetness of the taste of Iman. The sweetness of the taste of Iman. مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. So the first of those three things is the person to whom Allah and His Messenger are more beloved than what is besides them. So this is a person who is going to truly taste the pleasure and the sweetness of Iman. It is the person who puts Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ahead of everything else. Ahead of everything else. And he loves them more than everything else. More than his parents. More than his children. More than his relatives. More than his wealth. More than, you know, everything in the dunya. This person will truly taste the sweetness of Iman. And the second thing he said, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُحِبُّ الْمَرْءُ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. So the second quality is the person who loves another person, he loves another person for no other reason except for the sake of Allah. Except for the sake of Allah. So when he loves other people, and, you know, in all the relations that he has, then the only reason he loves them is for the sake of Allah. Meaning that his relationship with those people is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not because, for example, he's got a business interest with somebody, or because it's his blood relation, or because it's his parent, you know, or child in and of itself. Even though we know that we have a natural type of love, right? Allah has put a natural type of love. This is, al-hub, which is tabi'i. It is natural and it is innate that we naturally love our parents and our children and our brothers and sisters. You know, this is all blood relations, and Allah has put that tie in there. But what we are speaking of is a love that is purely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So you love them because, you know, for the sake of Allah, right? And that is the basis upon which you interact with them and you deal with them and you behave with them, right? So your love of them follows on from your love of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? So you do not love any person except for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whoever has this second quality, then he will truly taste the sweetness of Iman. And the third quality, which is وَمَنْ كَانَ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَرْجِعَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. The person who hates to return to disbelief, the one who hates to return back to disbelief after Allah has saved him from it, just like he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. So meaning, this quality where you if you became a Muslim and you used to be a disbeliever, you hate returning to disbelief just as much as you hate being thrown into the hellfire. So whoever has this quality, then he will also taste the sweetness of Iman. Now, this hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has used as evidence, he intends to show by this the difference between a person who is obedient to Allah, is obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, he obeys Allah Azza wa Jal, He obeys the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is how he has been nurtured. This is how he has been nurtured. He has been nurtured to control his desires and make sure that the things that he likes and the things that he dislikes are in accordance with what Allah likes and is pleased with. So he's nurtured upon this. And so therefore, as he grows up and as he matures, then he does not be misled by his own desires. Right? Because, as you know, in many people's experience, as children are raised and as people pass through their, you know, lives, they're exposed to many different things. They're exposed to food, to clothing, to drink, to relationships, to, you know, things that they like and are inclined to, things that please them, things that give them pleasure, and things that they dislike and things that they hate, and so on and so forth. So all of this is basically part and parcel of what determines your inclinations, you know, things that you are inclined to, things that you like, things that, you know, please you. Now, if a person continues upon this way without guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, then he may acquire and develop certain habits, certain practices, certain deeds that he does, which are based purely upon his inclinations. And as a result, he will be a person who will do things on that basis, right? Upon instinct, upon impulses, upon feelings, upon desires, upon pleasure, upon inclinations, right? And he will not be, his actions, his behavior will not be guided and based upon what Allah Azza wa Jal has sent of guidance. And so therefore, you know, he may not have all of these qualities which are mentioned in this hadith by way of example. Loving Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, which includes his tastes and his desires. And loving his brother for no other purpose except for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so on and so forth. Now, another hadith that Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah brings to establish the same point is the hadith ذَاقَ طَعْمُ الْإِيمَانِ ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. So in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person has tasted the sweetness of Iman, the one who is pleased with Allah as his Lord, and with Islam as his religion, and with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as his prophet. So this now is the way of the believer, the way of the righteous person. His tastes, his feelings, what he likes, what pleases him, what displeases him, how he acquires his pleasure, and all of these things, what is that based upon? It is based upon Allah and his religion of Islam and what he sent his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. And so that person, in terms of his, you know, his what he thinks, his feelings, his opinions, his views, all of that will be guided by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which there is truth, and in which there is rectification, and in which there is goodness, right? This is how he will be. As opposed to the people of disbelief. And so Shaykhul Islam says, وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْكُفْرِ وَالْبِدَعِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ فَكُلٌّ بِحَسْبِهِ. As for the people of disbelief and innovations and those who follow their own desires, then each person, you know, in accordance, you know, with his inclinations and desires, meaning that all of these people, then, you know, they will love things and they will, you know, like things on the basis of their own desires and impulses. And so that's why it was said to one of the Salaf, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, one of the imams of the Salaf in the 2nd century Hijrah, he was asked a question. It was said to him, مَا بَالُ أَهْلِ الْأَحْوَاءِ لَهُمْ مَحَبَّةٌ شَدِيدَةٌ لِأَهْوَائِهِمْ. Someone said to him, why do we find that these people of misguidance, these people of desires, why do they so intensely love the innovation or the misguidance that they have chosen? Why do they intensely, you know, like this, and why they are severe upon this? And so Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, he mentioned a verse in the Quran. He said in response to this person, أَنَسِيْتَ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. So he said to him, have you forgotten the statement of Allah the Most High in the Quran when he said, and he's speaking about the Jews, not the Jews, the Bani Israel. When he said about the Bani Israel, from among whom are the Jews, who came from among the Bani Israel. He said that, and this verse speaks about when they worshipped the calf. You know, they worshipped the calf. They erected this calf out of the gold and the jewelry, whilst Musa alayhi salam, you know, went to receive revelation, and you know they made this calf and they began to worship it, and so Allah Azza wa Jal described them. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ, that in their hearts, this, the love of the worship of this calf, this idol, you know, it was poured into their hearts on account of their disbelief. So what Sufyan ibn Uyayna is telling the person who asked him this question as to why is it that we see the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation, why are they so intensely in love and why are they so attached to their misguidance? And so Ibn Uyayna said, have you not forgotten what Allah has mentioned in the Quran about the Bani Israel, how they became so attached and loved their disbelief and their worship of an idol, their worship of the calf, how this, you know, was poured into their hearts. So if this can happen with Bani Israel in the issue of shirk and idol worship, then how can it not happen to people in less things than that? In things of innovation, in things of sin, in things of disobedience, right? So just like people can be attached and love their idol worship, likewise some people can become attached and love their innovation or love their sin. When people fall into sins, like they drink alcohol or they have, you know, haram relationships and do unlawful, you know, things like that, right? How can people not go, you know, like those things? So in this case, obviously it is about the people of bid'ah, the people of innovation, the people of deviation, and how they love their misguidance so much they become attached to it. And likewise, Ibn Taymiyyah continues and he says, أو نحو هذا من الكلام فعباد الأصنام يحبون آلهتهم كما قال تعالى ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. So he says and mentions another verse that likewise the worshippers of the idols, they love their deities, they love their gods. Just as Allah the Exalted said, among mankind is the one who takes besides Allah rivals whom he worships, and they love them as they ought to love Allah. And those who believe are more intense in their love of Allah. So here, this again is describing the people who worship idols, the people who worship statues, the people who worship, you know, dead people, you know, whom they, you know, represent by way of idols and statues. He says that such people love their idols more than they, you know, they love them in a way in which only Allah Azza wa Jal should be loved. And likewise, he also mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal فإن لم يستجيبوا لك فاعلم أنما يتبعون أهواءهم ومن أضل ممن اتبع هواه بغير هدى من الله. So he says, another ayah, if they do not respond to you, O Muhammad, so he's now addressing the Messenger of Allah, if they, meaning those whom you are calling to Islam and to the Quran, if they do not respond to you, then know that they are following their desires. And who is more astray than the one who follows his desires without guidance from Allah? So in this verse, the Messenger of Allah is ordered to say to those people, to the pagan Arabs, to the Jews, to the Christians, to the various other people that were present, because he is calling them to the Book of Allah, right? Which is revelation from Allah, from the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all of mankind. And so he's telling the Messenger of Allah that if these people don't listen to you and they don't follow your guidance and they don't follow the truth, then know that they can only be following their own desires. That's all it is, and nothing else. And who is more astray than the one who follows his own desires without guidance from Allah? So again, as we said, that all people, based upon how they are raised and based upon what they are exposed to, they naturally develop inclinations, desires, likes, dislikes, things that they love, right? And from behaviors, from all sorts of other things that they are used to, whether it is types of trade in business, types of relationship, types of food, types of drink, types of clothing, types of lifestyle, right? This develops likes and dislikes in every person, and every person has their own likes and dislikes. So this is his hawa. It is his hawa. Likewise, every person has his own type of upbringing in terms of education, his intellectual development, his opinions, his things like this, right? So every person has opinion, has desire, has so on and so forth. Every person has this. So when people choose to follow their own opinions and their own desires, which are from their experience, or from what they've acquired from their parents, or, for example, a prior religion or a prior upbringing, and then they choose not to follow the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal, then they can only be following their desires and their opinions. Right? So this is what Allah Azza wa Jal is saying in this ayah to the Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to these people, to the Yahud, to the Nasara, to the polytheists, the mushrikun, right, to the Jews, Christians, polytheists and others, that if they do not follow this guidance, which is the truth, then they can only be following their own desires. So likewise, he mentions another verse, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَحْوَى الْأَنفُسُ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُم مِّن رَّبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. Indeed, they are only following their own desires. Indeed, they are only following conjecture. All they have is suspicion. They are only following conjecture. And whatever their souls desire. But indeed, there has already come to them from their Lord guidance. So in other words, it's a similar verse. It is saying that these people, despite guidance having come to them, all they are doing is following their own inclinations, their desires, their presumptions, their conjectures. That's all it is. Now, we are speaking here in the context of the Sufis who invent things into the religion, such as, for example, listening to poetry and listening to music and engaging in, even some of them do like dancing as a form of what they believe to be worship, right? All these things, they have invented into the religion. And these types of acts of worship, what they do is all they do is they kind of stimulate and stir a person's desire and they excite his feelings. And that's why Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said that these types of people, when you look at these types of people who are like the Sufis and people like them, you see that they have a very strong inclination towards poetry and singing and dancing and things like that as a means of worship. So you see this frequently, for example, with those who are the Brelwis that we find from the Indian subcontinent, and you find them among like the Sufis in, you know, across Africa and in, you know, Syria and Iraq and many of these places. You see them inclined towards these activities and these actions. Lots of poetry, music, singing, and things that stir the soul. Things that the soul likes, things that please the soul, right? Because these are things that basically they stir up in the heart certain feelings, certain emotions, and they generate like a type of love, which is a very open, general, unrestricted type of love. It is a type of love that, you know, it's a type of love that is, you know, common to all people, right? So Ibn Taymiyyah says, ولهذا يميل هؤلاء إلى سماع الشعر والأصوات التي تحيج المحبة المطلقة التي لا تختص بأهل الإيمان بل يشترك فيها محب الرحمن ومحب الأوثان. He says these people who do this and listen to these types of things and do these types of things, what happens is that their hearts are stirred with a certain type of love, but this love is not something that's unique just to the people of Iman. It's a type of love, it's a type of feeling that is stirred in the heart of everybody, whether he is someone who loves Ar-Rahman or whether he is someone who loves the idols, whether he is someone who, for example, has a love for his nation, for his homeland, or whether he has a love for his, you know, people, or whether he has a love for women or for his children, right? All of this is a type of love that is based upon your desires, your adwaq and your, you know, mawajid, whether it is, you know, from your own experience. And what Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, what he's pointing out here, what he's basically saying is, when you look at these people who listen, for example, to nasheeds, and they listen to poetry, and they engage in singing and things like that as what they believe to be an act of worship, what happens is that in their hearts, these feelings of joy and pleasure and, you know, love and so on and so forth, they arise in their hearts. However, this type of feeling and love and joy isn't something which is unique. Rather, you find it even in the one who is a worshipper of idols, even in someone who listens to like music and to the disbelievers. This type of excitement and joy and elation and feeling and, you know, love, right? It is something that is not qualified. It is something that is not restricted. It's just pure emotions that are being felt that many other people would feel. For example, a person who has nationalism in his heart, he loves his homeland and he feels like some love for his homeland, he would feel the same type of thing. Or a person who loves, you know, he's got tribalism, he loves his tribe, he loves his brethren, right? And he has this feeling of love. These people would have the same type of feeling of love. So all that's happening here is this is really, you are following your inclinations and your feelings and, you know, the things that you've become accustomed to from your upbringing and from your experience. This is just simply the hawa, the desire. It is not something that is actually tied to and conditioned by what Allah loves and what Allah has revealed and what His Messenger has brought, right? So this is what you find with these types of people who they worship Allah with these types of innovated acts of worship, and they are inclined towards these types of acts of worship. Why? Because from their upbringing, they are inclined towards these things. So really, it's their hawa, it's their desire that they are following. Right? And this is what's good. So this is a point being mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And then Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, he comments and he says about this statement that these people, you find that they have been prevented by Allah Azawajal from finding true pleasure and, you know, from listening to the Qur'an and, you know, from tasting the pleasure of the Qur'an. And instead they have been diverted instead to poetry and songs and, you know, musical instruments and other such things, such as what we find with the Sufis and like them. And, you know, they consider all of this to be worship. And you find it in the masajid. Why is this? Because it agrees with their desires. It is not from the revelation, but it agrees with something from their, you know, their personal upbringing and their inclinations and what they have been accustomed to and what they are used to. And then they use that as a basis, not the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so therefore they are really following their desires. They are following their desires. And, you know, and then he says, likewise, you know, the voices that they hear, which stir them, you know, the voice of the singer or the voice of the poet that they listen to. And often these lines of poetry and these songs that they listen to, they have things which oppose the Islamic creed. There is exaggeration. There are even statements that enter into disbelief in, you know, of exaggeration and raising the status of people and giving them qualities which only belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so they listen to all of this and it stirs them, and the voice, you know, the sound of the beauty of the voice, this is what is really stirring them, right? The voice, just like as you would with, if you were to listen to songs and music where the voice is so beautiful that it stirs you. Right, so in a similar manner, these are the types of things which appeal and which these people, you know, find to be really nice. Right, this is what's really, really, really happening in these kind of situations. So, then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, you know, he says that this is the nature of these people. These are the people. وَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ أَذْوَاقَهُمْ وَمَوَاجِيدَهُمْ مِنْ غَيْرِ اعْتِبَارٍ لِذَلِكَ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُ الْأُمَّةِ So he says that these are the people who follow their tastes and who follow their inclinations without referring that back to the book and the sunnah, without consideration of the book and the sunnah and what the salaf were upon. So then he says that the person who opposes what Allah sent His Messenger with, of, you know, worshipping Allah and obeying Allah and obeying His Messenger through His Sunnah, these people cannot be truly followers of whatever Allah has legislated. They cannot be true followers of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so then he mentions the statement of Allah, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا. So again, Allah Azza wa Jal speaking to His Messenger Sallam, He says, then we put you on a sharia, upon a certain sharia, you know, in the affair. So follow it and do not follow the desires of those who do not know, of those who do not have knowledge. Indeed, they will not avail you in anything from Allah. So once more here, Allah is telling the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we have given you this legislation which is guidance and truth. So follow it and do not follow the desires of those who have no knowledge, those who are ignorant and have no knowledge. Indeed, they will not help you, they will not avail you anything in front of Allah. So these types of people here, they are the ones who are actually followers of their desires without any guidance from Allah. Likewise, he mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Have they partners who have legislated for them of the religion what Allah has not given permission for? So again, in respect to things which are introduced into the religion, where has this come from? Where have these people derived these things? Have they got partners with Allah who have legislated these things for them? Where have they got this from? So this is in terms of things that people, you know, introduce. So Ibn Taymiyyah says that all of these types of people, what we find from them is two qualities, two traits. Either they are innovating into the religion new things which are not from it, as he says, وَهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ تَارَةً يَكُونُونَ عَلَى بِدْأَةٍ يُسَمُّونَهَا حَقِيقَةً يُقَدِّمُونَهَا عَلَى مَا شَرْعَهُ اللَّهِ وَتَارَةً يَحْتَجُّونَ بِالْقَدْرِ الْكَوْنِ عَلَى الشَّرِيعَةِ كَمَا أَخْبَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَمَا تَقَدَّمْ. So these types of people, you find that they fall into two things. Either they are innovating into the religion, you know, innovations, and then they describe this to be the haqiqah, and they put it ahead of what Allah Himself has legislated. Or at other times, they use al-qadr as an argument to justify their disobedience and their avoidance of the sharia, right? As we discussed previously. So, upon this passage, Sheikh al-Fawzan, he says that, you know, commenting upon this, that these types of people whom we are speaking of, who follow their desires and who innovate into the religion and who operate upon their impulses and what makes them feel good, these people are not truly following the religion of what Allah Azza wa Jal, what He sent of His revelation. And, you know, you see that that they are really following their own desires, their own inclinations, what makes them feel good. And legislation is something that is only the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nobody else has a right to legislate into the religion what is not from it, from acts of worship and other things. And as he says, that these people, they legislate into the deen of Allah what Allah Himself has not given any permission for. So likewise, the issue of abandoning the commands and prohibitions of Allah and then claiming that, you know, this is justified because it is from Al-Qadr, right? You know, because Allah decreed it, therefore He must be happy with it. This is now the other mistake, the second mistake, where you commit sins and disobedience and then you say, well, Allah decreed it, so He must be pleased with it. So I am totally justified in doing what I am doing. Right? So this is like the other mistake that is made. So that also is false. And this is another way that the polytheists, the mushrikun, this is how they would argue to justify their shirk. And likewise, they were followed by some among the people of Islam who began to claim that everything that Allah decrees from his qadr, from His decree, then it must be acceptable to Allah. So therefore, it is fine for people who drink and for people who do not perform their obligations. If Allah wanted them to be, you know, obedient and pious and so on and so forth, then He would have willed that for them. But because He's willed this, and He, you know, He must be pleased with everything which is taking place in His decree. And so therefore they justify their sins, their disobedience, even their shirk, their polytheism, by way of Allah's decree. So these are the two types of mistakes, right, that the polytheists before Islam, they made, right? They invented things into the religion, and, you know, they claimed it to be from the religion, and they claimed it to be correct. And then also, they used Al-Qadr as an argument to justify these actions of theirs, of committing shirk, and of, you know, acts of disobedience that they committed. So all of this comes, if you like, it's like a type of package by which previous nations, they went astray. And likewise, amongst the people of Islam, you see the same package resurfacing. Except that we see it, for example, you know, we see it manifested in the Sufis from one direction. We see it manifest in the people of Kalam, the people of Ilmul Kalam, in another direction. Because what they are doing is they are claiming that their opinions, their views, their intellects on the one hand, for the people of Kalam, and likewise their tastes and their desires and their inclinations for the people of the Tasawwuf, the Sufis on the other hand, who justify their innovated acts of worship. This is how they argue. This is how they went astray. Right? And then some of them also used the argument of Al-Qadr. Right? That whatever we are doing, it's justified because Allah Azawajal has willed it. And this is what you find amongst the Jahmiyyah, the Jabariyyah, and the Sufiyyah. You find these similar types of ideas developing. So this brings us to an end of today's lesson. We are continuing the discussion of how people deviate from the al-haqiqa ad-diniyya, right, which is the religious reality that we are obligated to abide by, which is to worship Allah upon what He revealed, to worship Him alone, and to worship Him through what He revealed, not by way of desires, opinions, you know, things like that. And so here we are simply pointing out the mistakes that people have fallen into in previous nations, and likewise in this nation. And so this is where we'll stop, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue this discussion in the next lesson. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين